come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door, time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
Randy, are you on the line?
That's really not a way to start a broadcast. Randy, are you on the line? Of course I'm on the line. Where else would I be? Coming
this
to you live from Nashville, Tennessee.
The Wednesday edition of Knockout Radio.
Well, a lot of things that we're going to talk about. We'll talk about last night's charity event. We're going to talk about the UFC Saturday that we attended. I've got, what was I going to name the segment? It was something Matt. I already forgot what I named this segment.
Okay.
You had to have seen it. You didn't see it when I posted it on the Book of Faith?
No, I didn't see it.
Where's Matt? There's Matt. Another F Matt. Something like that. So we're going to get to that probably within the first hour as well. But let's start. There's really only one way we can start with everything that's going on. With the UFC last week, there is only one way to start: the collapse of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh my gosh! Like, where do you rank that as like top 10 worst sports upsets in history?
It's definitely ranked as the worst. As the, I mean, this is Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson. This is Matt Serra over GSP. I mean, this is a total unbelievable what the heck happened. And
I mean, according to Sports Illustrated, they have Holly Holm defeating Ronda Rousey 2015 as the number one greatest upset in sports history. Does this trump that?
I don't think Holly Holm beating Ronda Rousey is the biggest upset in sports. It's not. Honestly, it's not anywhere in the top 30. If you recall, I predicted Holly Holm would beat Ronda Rousey. I don't think that was an upset. I thought it was a no-brainer. I know that she started as an 18-1 underdog, but I didn't think that was... That is not as big as Matt Serra beating GSP. Not, no, in no way. I don't want to say I'm happy, because I'm not, but I find it funny, and I said this when people started posting that this is the greatest team in Tampa Bay history. And when they said Tampa Bay history, a lot of the people that were responding to these posts were saying they're not talking hockey. They're talking of all sports in Tampa Bay. And if you remember, I said with the Buccaneers winning the Stanley Cup, I mean with the Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl, with the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup. And then Sean brought up the arena team. How can you call this Tampa Bay Lightning team the greatest team in Tampa Bay history when they hadn't won anything? And at the time, they hadn't even won the President's Cup. And I said, ho, ho, just hold on. Let's wait and see. And these guys didn't lose in the playoffs. They were embarrassed in the playoffs.
It was truly, I mean, it's unbelievable to win, to tie the 1995-96 Detroit Red Wings for the season highest victories, 62 games, and then to get swept in the first round of the playoffs. It's just unbelievable. Because it's not just a one-game event. You know, Buster Douglas, one guy gets a good shot. You know, you're in the combat sport world. You know, one good punch can change the course of a fight. This isn't just one day, one event. Thank you, you're done. This is a four-game series that they got dominated. And it's truly mind-boggling.
You know, I spoke to somebody last night who is involved in the hockey world. He's an Olympian. He's a medalist. Granted, not for Team USA, but for Canada. Works for a couple NHL teams, has worked for some NHL teams. And of course, this is not rocket science. This is when he said, there's obviously an issue in the locker room. there's obviously some problems. And I said, do you fire Cooper last night? Do you pull a USC and tell Cooper, don't even get on the bus? You're not even coming back on the plane. You're done. And he was saying that it's more, you know, it's bigger than that, which it is. But how do you not do something? How do you not step up? It is John Cooper's fault. Like I say to you all the time, when you do something that drives me crazy, and we're going to get to that, don't worry, it's my responsibility. It's the ownership of the Tampa Bay Lightning's responsibility to step up and do something and not just say, oh, well, let's get it better next year.
Yeah, I mean, because what else could you do to improve this team? I mean, they've spent all the money they could spend. They've got all the people on the rosters that they need. They've got the tying season record in the books. You know, what else do you need except execution at the pivotal point, right?
I'm going to say we start with a playoff-ready goaltender. We always have these great goalies until it's playoff time. And then it's like they forget. They forget how to block. They forget how to stop pucks. I would say start with that. Move on. I'm holding Cooper responsible.
I mean, does it matter that they weren't tested this season, that they didn't have to come over like adversity of like a long losing streak? I mean, they've had two game losing streaks in the entire season. You know, is it to where they got down 2-0 and then they didn't know how to come back? Like they didn't have to that memory of adversity of arising, like Fury, Tyson Fury, and Wilder fight, you know, where he got up on the sixth count, you know, just instinctive that, you know, he had to get up, that fire from within the belly. Is that what this team lacked? It lacked heart? It lacked adversity?
We're not there. You know, we're not in the locker room. We don't know. It's tough to say they lacked heart. It certainly showed like they lacked heart, but... You know, we don't know. We don't know. I think we will find out what the problem was. Somebody is going to say something. Somebody is going to leak something out. As well as, let's be honest, if somebody is now gone, if a big-name player, you know, that everybody thinks is, you know, all that and a can of tuna fish, and he's not here next year, then you're going to know that that was one of the issues.
I mean, like Tyson said, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. So, you know, they had a plan. They got punched in the mouth. They got, you know, out-dominated, and then they didn't respond.
I'm going to correct you. I don't think they had a plan. It's not that they didn't execute the plan. I don't think they had one. Did you see one in four games?
It looked like they're always in the defensive mode. Like they were always on their heels, backpedaling, playing just a second behind or a line behind. I mean, it just didn't seem like they ever had control.
Again, it's not that I find it funny. It's that we are live, by the way, coming to you from the lobby here in Nashville. The next superstar in the world is walking by us as we speak. The Carters are walking by, Kevin Carter and Big Zion. We are here in Nashville for the Kevin Carter Foundation, waiting for wishes for Make-A-Wish. What was I just saying before the Carters walked by?
I mean, we were talking about the Lightning and the failure, but I did save one of the Yardsteak 2019 playoff presented by Advent Health as a souvenir in my office here because I wanted to have a memento of possibly the greatest sports upset of my lifetime.
Right, I do remember where I was going. So the Randy regime is in town, coming in town, and will be in town for this weekend's Rugged Maniac. So when the Lightning lost game one, some of the Randy regime was, oh, that's awesome. That means game five will be Friday night in Tampa Bay at Amalie Arena. So a lot of people in the Randy regime who's coming into town was excited about it. And be careful what you wish for because, no, there is no game five.
There's no more games.
Well, there's plenty of games. There's just not any more games for the Tampa Bay Lightning. And if you recall, last year's President's Cup winner went out in the second round. So I think it's not behooving to you and to your organization to win the President's Cup.
Yeah, I mean, even the 96 Detroit Red Wings, you know, 95, 96 President Cup winners, they did not win. That actually went to Eric Mayoral's hometown of Denver, Colorado, to the Avalanche. So
I cannot hear you with my Stanley Cup ring in my ear. I believe that's one of the famous quotes from Patrick Waugh. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but no President's Cup winner has won a Stanley Cup.
That is a great research. So let me look that up.
Yeah, jump on that. You know, earn the money. Earn your money. So last Saturday in Hotlanta, we were there for UFC 236. What are some of the things that you took away from Atlanta in 236?
I mean, I know Shane and Eric and the rest of the regime are going to be shocked to hear this, but I actually became a fan.
Hold on a second. Before you say anything, I don't think you can say anything that would shock anybody anymore. We're used to it.
I mean, that's true, but I became a fan of the sport. You know, like, not the names, not the headliners, but from fight to fight, from the original fight, from the Brandon Davis fight all the way through, I was engaged in the moves and the transitions in the corner. I think I only took one intermission to go to the restroom because I didn't want to get kicked out like you. So I was afraid to get out
of
my seat.
Hold on. I didn't get kicked out. There was an issue, and I knew that there was a mistake as soon as they sent me to the wrong place. So, you know, when you say that, I've got to tell the story. So when I went back to the restroom, I went into the back area, and I said, can you tell me where a restroom is? They said, go to your left. I walked to my left. Then there was like a gated area. I said, I'm looking for a restroom. They said, well, it's keep going left. You're almost there. I took about 9 steps, and I realized they just sent me backstage. And I turned around, and I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Unfortunately, there was quite a few people that said, what are you doing here? We spoke. They know that it was a mistake from security. It wasn't me. I wasn't trying to be in the back. I didn't want to be there. But, yeah, you're right. I was a little nervous about going to the restroom after that.
Yeah, no. And to answer your question about the President's Trophy winner, only once in the past 10 seasons has a President's Trophy winner won the Stanley Cup. That was your 2013 Chicago Blackhawks.
They were the President's Cup? I did not. I wasn't aware of that.
According to the Puck Report, that is the answer. And then, yeah, that's it. So it has happened before, but it won't happen in Tampa Bay in 2019. That is for sure.
Well, yeah, it won't happen in 2019. You don't have to even say in Tampa Bay. It won't happen in 2019 at all. So, so much for that. Well, one of the things that I took away from Atlanta in 236, which it just recently came out. I mean, obviously some people knew about it before, but it just came out that Max Holloway donated his gloves. He signed his gloves and handed them over to Dustin Poirier. You know, Dustin, and he said at the press conference as well, he was auctioning off all of his gear for the foundation that he's running, which is a really awesome thing that he's doing. And Max stepped up and handed his gloves over. I thought that was pretty cool.
Because they're building a playground for special needs children. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And so that's amazing. I mean, that's awesome. It's an amazing thing to do, you know, especially like, you know, the fight glove. That's, you know, because that's a huge keepsake for a lot of the, you know, fighters and for history and for the sport. And to use it for good, that's amazing.
Let's address something that Dana White said, you know, in the press conference when he said, sure, for all you knuckleheads that are against interim titles, could you have imagined either one of these fights being 3-round fights? Aren't you glad it was a 5-round fight? First and foremost, the main event is a 5-round fight, whether it's a title fight or not. So you didn't need the fake title on the line for that. And I think then if you're going to make that statement, let's do away with interim titles and let's make every main and co-main a 5-round fight.
Yeah, I mean, what is the point of having an interim title? I mean, why does it have to be there?
I can't answer that because I'm against them.
I mean, because let's say the presidency. If the president isn't able to fulfill the duties, the vice president becomes the president, and then it goes down and down and down. Like, why isn't there a hierarchy of default? If a fighter's injured and can't fight, can't perform, then the next person in line is the belt holder. And why this interim belt, like number four fighting number five for a belt that's not the real belt? You know, it's because those two extra rounds of damage that those guys went through in both the co-main and the main event, those are serious damage. It's going to take serious time to recover from the physical side of what they did for those two extra rounds when it wasn't necessary, you know, if the belt wasn't in play.
The only thing that I can comment on and agree with you on is number four fought number five for an interim fake title. It doesn't matter that number one and number two and number three, you know, is somewhere else or not able to. Your number four rank from your people, from the people you've hand selected to do your ranking. Look at I just saw this, that the new pound for pound list, Dustin Poirier is like fifth or sixth. I may have an issue with that. He didn't beat the champion. He didn't beat someone in his weight class. I'm not taking anything away from Dustin Poirier or Max Holloway. But for him to leapfrog people that you already have on the pound-for-pound list, to me, it's crazy. I don't know what I would have done if I was still doing the ranking. But since I'm not, I'm against it.
But why did Max take this fight? He's already the
why
champ.
Why wouldn't he?
He's going up in weight class. I mean, it wasn't a real belt. I mean, was it just to get him a title shot at the champ, at Khabib? I mean, is that what it was for?
It was for all of the above. I'm sure he got paid well. I'm sure the fact of being another title holder, they consider the interim title as a real title. You know, why wouldn't a fighter go up if given that opportunity? I mean, of course he's going to do it.
I mean, you heard Dana in the press conference that he likes Max at 145. He expects to see Max back at 145 and to end this I guess, dream or fantasy of being the champ.
I don't know if the dream is gone. And Max said in the press conference that he was going to go, you know, back down and defend his title. But I don't think necessarily the dream is gone. If the opportunity arises again, if Max continues destroying people in the weight class that he is the champion, and another opportunity came up, title holder is injured for a year, you know, on the same kind of thing. Hey, Max, do you want to step up? Here's this opportunity. I guarantee you that he takes it. Before I forget, Tito Ortiz will be on the show next Wednesday to discuss his next fight.
What? Tito? Wow.
Tito Ortiz will fight again. He'll fight towards the end of the year. Once the announcement is made, I know who he's going to fight. Okay. I know what organization he is going to be fighting in. And, you know, like always, out of respect, I was told until it's out. So I'm good. Even to the point where I was with Randy Couture yesterday, and he asked me, and I did not tell Randy Couture.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
I'm sure Tito will tell him. I mean, you know, we all hung out last night. I'm sure he'll tell him. But I'm not. Nope. No, sir. Not doing it.
How did Tito like the Masters? He had fun at the watching Tiger Woods redemption.
You know, we didn't talk a long time about it. I mean, it's kind of a hectic, you know, 48 hours here. You know, between you know, the meet and greet and the dinners and all the stuff that's going around. But we talked briefly. He said he was a little worn out from walking. He said he would definitely do it again. You know, it was a dream. And I said, what a great year for your dream to be the year that Tiger Woods you know, goes out there and not even necessarily wins. I think it would have been just as successful to watch, you know, had Tiger Woods not won. Yeah, everybody is hooping and hollering and excited for Tiger Woods. Now, let me ask you a question, and I know some people have given me some looks about this. Did Tiger Woods win the Masters, or did the European dude, whose name I won't even attempt to pronounce because I don't remember it, did he blow it? Did he lose it? Or did both of that happen?
I believe... Well, the guy went, what, like 50 holes without a bogey? And then, right. You know, maybe the nerves got to him and he fell apart there, had a bogey and opened the door and gave Tiger. But Tiger still had to execute. He still had to make putts. He still had to win by points. So there was no favoritism and there was no, you know, split decisions. Well,
there is no favoritism in golf. I mean, it's all what you do and what your opponents are doing. You can still play the best golf in the world, but if somebody's playing better golf, it doesn't matter if you shoot. I found it interesting that Tiger said that in the press conference, that he knew what he had to do. He was watching, you know, the guys in front of him. He knew if they parred, he needed a birdie. He knew if they birdied, all he had to do was, you know, birdie to stay equal with them. You know, par would kill him. So he was playing his game around the guys who were in front of him.
I think all the credit's got to go to Tiger. I mean, in a moment of doubt where you don't really know, because, you know, this newcomer guy, nobody knows who he is. You know, you got to give credit to Tiger for his adversity. I mean, talk about the comeback story. Talk about, you know, something that's going to transcend generations. I mean, did it not just feel right on Sunday? All was right in the world. I know leaving Alpharetta, I was cruising by the global headquarters of Staff Zone, which is amazing, by the way. And
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a whole lot more. We don't want to get too far behind. So with that said, let's go hit our first break of the afternoon. Coming to you live from the Hilton in downtown Nashville, the home of next week's NFL draft. We'll be right back. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Vinny LeCavalier, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a 3-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment. With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Mike Allstott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the downtown Hilton. Day after Waiting for Wishes, the Kevin Carter Foundation charity event here each and every year. It is outstanding. Before I get to Oh My Matt or Where's Matt or What the Matt, I think that's what I was going to call it, What the Matt.
We're going to get to What the Matt.
What the Matt. So we're going to get to What the Matt in a second. Before we do, I have another pet peeve.
Okay.
So yesterday we went to lunch with the legend himself, Randy Couture, and the smashing, wonderful, beautiful Mindy Robinson. And when we ordered lunch, Randy ordered a side of meatballs. Okay.
Okay.
Meatballs. What would you take that to mean?
Meatballs? The ones I'm on
exactly.
The side?
Yeah, it was one meatball. So shouldn't it have said meatball, not meatballs?
Yeah.
Isn't that misleading on the menu?
Plural. Yeah, it would be plural right. If it was. Unless they did one big meatball that is more weight than meatballs. They've never updated their menu, but it gives you more food for less money.
I still would disagree. I don't care if the meatball was the size of planet Earth. It doesn't matter. That's still a meatball. It's not meatballs. It doesn't say 1.6 pounds of ground beef, of pork, of whatever you're going to make into the meatball. It said meatballs.
What if the S is silent?
Okay, Hoyt. So, what's the math? Let me throw you under the bus for a second.
Oh, God. All right.
So, Matthew McClellan is supposed to meet me in Hotlanta on Saturday. So, I'm sitting on Saturday, right?
Yep.
So, I'm sitting at Castle Dell Staff Zone. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. Next thing I know, I find out that Matthew McClellan is at the UFC headquarters in Atlanta, the UFC headquarter hotel. He puts Walt Harris on the phone. You know, he's having a great time at the downtown Hilton. It was a Hilton, right?
It was at the Grand, the Hyatt Regency in downtown Atlanta.
Hyatt, okay. All right, so it was a Hyatt. So Matt does his thing. He then drives down. We connect. We then go back to the fight. Everything is great. So Sunday, we are scheduled to go to the number one aquarium in the world, the Georgia Aquarium. Everything is set. We both make a mutual decision, which is cool, that Matthew McClellan is going to get in his vehicle because he drove up to Atlanta. That he's going to get in the vehicle, kind of beat some traffic, beat some weather, you know, get home to his family and all of that. I mean, I could drag this on for hours. Next thing I know, I get a selfie sent to me of Matthew McClellan driving the champion, Henry Cejudo, to the airport. Please explain how this whole thing went down.
Oh,
how
man.
Does, Randy, I'm on my way home. I'm not going to go to the aquarium. I'm going to drive home to beat traffic. How does it go from that to Henry Cejudo in your vehicle, in your Uber on the way to it. Did you at least flip the Uber sign on?
No, I did not put the Uber sign on. It was a free fare. I left Alpharetta early. You know, there was opportunity to go possibly and meet Tito at the Masters with you for dinner on Sunday night. But it was my wife's 38th birthday, and I drove to Atlanta because the flights that I was looking at didn't get me home till Monday morning early. So I just wanted to get home on Sunday so I at least could see my kids and my wife on my wife's birthday. There were tornadoes throughout the area, all over the southeast. Weather was crazy. But I stopped by the Lenox Square. I picked up some gourmet popcorn from Garrett's for a friend's wife. And I packaged it up, and I was driving south, heading towards Florida. And I said I was 7 minutes from the Grand Regency Hyatt Hotel where the fighters were at. And I was like, you know what? Let me just cruise by the hotel before I get back on the interstate. So I did, and there was the UFC signs out front, and fighters were out in the parking lot hanging out and just having a good time and connecting. And so I caught up with Brandon Davis, and I caught up with some different fighters. And then, and so I was getting liners, got some liners for the show. And then Henry comes out, and I was like, hey, Henry. I was like, great to see you, man. Like, you know, can I get a liner for the show? It'd be great to have you on Knockout Radio. And he goes, hold on a second. I just missed my flight. There's another one, but I got to get there. So he asked the concierge, hey, man, I need to get to the airport. Where is it? How far? I got to confirm this flight. And the guy goes, I can call you a taxi or an Uber, but you're not going to make it, man. And so Knockout Radio steps in. I'm like, look, man, I got my own car. I'm hitting the highway. I'm leaving anyway. I have no commitment here. Like, let's go. So we run to my car. Jump in, and we drive. And I actually have a 10-minute interview I'll send to you. We're talking about the steroids, about Dillashaw. We're talking about bare-knuckle boxing. Just a great guy, amazing person. And then I sent the selfie of my Uber to the head honcho himself, Randy Harris.
Yeah, it was shocking, impressive. What the mat is all I can say. What the mat.
Well, he said that my pizza diet, the Naked Pizza Man, he said he loves it. He said it's cringy.
And, hold on. Henry Cejudo, your Olympian, who was so happy to be in Atlanta, said he likes the Naked Pizza Man?
He loves it. He thought it was cringy when he first heard it, like Naked Pizza Man. It's like, but he loved it, and then he loved the concept behind it. And I don't know what I'll do is, at the next break, I'll send you the 10-minute interview. If you want to send it to the station and air it while you're on your plane, we can let it run for like the 10-minute duration. But,
I would be against that until I review it. That's how much trust the Naked Pizza Man.
It's phenomenal. I brought up the Bare Knuckle Boxing Federation, his opinion on it. I brought up his opinion on steroids about, if they should let all the fighters use and then create medical treatment. He was against that. He thought that what TJ did, it put a blemish on the sport. He was a superstar, and he made a poor decision. He'll never fight him again.
Let me respond to that comment, because I haven't heard your interview. First, okay. I don't believe that TJ Dillashaw hurt the sport of MMA by testing positive any more than anybody else who has tested positive. There have been some pretty big names that have tested positive. Anderson Silva, Hoyce Gracie, of course we know Brock, on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So, you know, to put it all on TJ, I mean, there's been a lot of big names, there's been a lot of middle names, there's been a lot of no names. Every single person that tests positive for the use of steroids in any sport, but the sport we love the most, mixed martial arts, brings the sport down, but it also brings them down. So I wouldn't throw 100% of this into TJ Dillashaw. You know, it's every MMA person, everybody who cheats, everybody, you know, who does that. Does that surprise you? That's first and foremost. Second of all, if TJ Dillashaw comes back in 2 years and the powers that be, Dana White, Sean Shelby, all of those guys, say, Henry Cejudo, if you're still the champion, you're going to fight TJ Dillashaw, guess what? he's going to fight TJ Dillashaw.
According to him, he's not fighting TJ Dillashaw.
Okay, according to him. Our guy Usman has said the only way he's going to fight Colby Covington is if Colby Covington begs for the fight. They're going to fight next. I mean, we are Team Usman, but you have to be careful when you make comments. Believe me, anybody in this planet knows you need to be careful what you say, and that would be me, you know, who says the wrong things and says stupid things, and it gets me in trouble and whatever. But it gets blown up because if I'm told to do something I say I'm not doing, guess what? I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's it. That's true.
And it's easy for Henry Cejudo to say that he's not going to fight TJ Dillashaw because he's not suspended for 2 years.
Sure, he's got two years to figure it out. So, right,
exactly.
Nothing to worry about it.
You know, who knows? And I'm not, you know, I don't want anybody to say I'm doing negative and I'm ripping it because I'm not ripping anybody. But who knows? Henry Cejudo could, A, be out of mixed martial arts in 2 years, B, go up three weight classes. He decides he likes pizza, not naked pizza. he could go on a 7-fight losing streak. You know, that's like saying, if I hit a $2 billion lottery, I'm going to give you a cut.
Right, until it actually happens. And then you're like, oh, exactly. I'm not giving anybody anything. My money.
Exactly. Call me whatever you want. I'm going to my own island that I just bought with my $2.6 billion.
Right.
So I'm on a bus, and we're going to our dinner on Monday night. I'm sitting next to these two young fellers, and this one young feller says, you know, we're starting to talk to MMA, and he goes, yeah, my brother's buddy's dad started, I don't know if he said MMA or the UFC. I don't remember which he said. I said, well, I think you're wrong. He goes, no, I'm pretty sure that my brother's buddy's dad started the UFC. And I said, well, is your brother's buddy's dad Art Davies? Is your brother's buddy's dad Hoist Gracie or Papa Gracie or someone with the last name of Gracie? And he goes, no, I don't remember. So he texts his brother. Guess who his brother's buddy is? Guess who his brother's buddy's dad is?
Dana White.
Very close. It's Lorenzo Fertitta.
Fertitta brothers.
So this guy's brother's buddy, who went to Notre Dame, is friends with Nico. And so I said, all right, you're close. He didn't, you know, start the UFC, but, you know, he was involved. You know, this got to where it is because of your brother's buddy's dad.
Indeed. Yeah. Okay. There's like a handful of guys at the very front that made the sport what it is. I mean, they're definitely one of them.
Well, yeah. Yep. Fertitta's, Dana. You know, I mean, there's a few other people as well, but, you know, without those three, I would not be sitting in the lobby of the Hilton in downtown Nashville talking about Knockout Radio and talking about mixed martial arts and the UFC and the fact that we'll be in Sunrise. Is that next? That's next week, right?
It's the 27th, I think.
Yeah, 27th. So yeah. The plan is that we will broadcast Knockout Radio next Wednesday from Sunrise in Fort Lauderdale. And
yes, we will.
The rumor is we'll also be in attendance on Saturday. So,
that's what I hear.
So, all right, let's do this. Let's go hit a break real quick. And when we come back, we'll talk about a few other things and have a good time and continue the shenanigans that is known as Knockout Radio. Brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. We'll be right back.
Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
The Rugged Maniac returns to the Tampa Bay area on April 20th, and we hope you will join the Randy regime as we run the 25 epic obstacles from fire jumps, water slides, trampolines, underground tunnels, and much more in a 3-mile course ending with beer and music. Register today at ruggedmaniac.com. Pick your race time and shirt size, and then get ready for the best time you've ever had. This is the Rugged Maniac 2019.
Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
Hey guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
I just said, I'm going back. Quit it, please.
Last night.
And we are back. This is the Wednesday edition of Knockout Radio. Randy Harris is live in Nashville for the Kevin Carter Make a Wish or Waiting for Wishes charity event. Star-studded event that always brings out big names in sports entertainment and music as well. I know yesterday Randy posted some photos of Randy Couture and Tito Ortiz, two of UFC and MMA legends in the sport, and we're just waiting for Randy to get back live on the air.
Can you imagine Saturday?
And I guess we'll still wait because he's not talking to us. So he's he's heavily involved in the radio up there. So I think this was his 17th year. And I don't know the tolls. Randy will be able to give us a better detail on it, but I think they've raised over $3 million since this charity has been started to do good and give back to the Boys and Girls Club of Nashville or the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So, but I don't really know. I'm not there. I didn't get a chance to go. Randy had his daughter meet him up there, so I saw all the photos. It's always great to include your family along with your career. So I look forward to those days when I get to take my girls with me on the road and sit cage side or hang out with celebrities. I guess in the meantime, since Randy's off having a good time, we can run down the next couple fight cards here. So coming up next, if I can get the UFC to load here. UFC website, we have on Saturday, April 20th at 1 o'clock p.m., the main card coming from St. Petersburg, Russia. You got Overeem taking on, let's see, Aleksey Olenik. So they're all Russian names. So I'm going to, man, what a fight card with a lot of vowels. I mean, you know what? We'll bypass that one. I'll wait for Randy to get back. I'll let him run that down. Man, if you want to entertain yourself, go to the UFC event, tab, look up the fight card for Saturday, April 20th in St. Petersburg, Russia, and just try to pronounce the names. But I'll bypass that. We'll go directly to Saturday, the 27th of April, right here in Sunrise, Florida, at the BB&T Center. It It's going to be your number four ranked Ronaldo Souza, the middleweight bout versus Jack Hermanson. You got Greg Hardy taking on Dmitry Smolvalyuk. He should be fighting on the last card, to be honest. Alex Oliveira, that's the Brazilian cowboy. He's taking on Platinum Mike Perry. And if you haven't heard Randy's liner from Platinum Mike Perry, it truly is one of the greatest liners of all liners. So definitely do yourself a favor. Tune in next Wednesday. We'll be live broadcasting down in Sunrise. And we're setting it up for you guys, getting to play interviews. This last week, if you listened to last week's show, we started a new segment where Jupiter Bikes gave away one of their electric bikes, and we played a contest. So for all the fighters that came onto the program last Wednesday, they were eligible to win Performance of the Night at UFC 236 in Atlanta. And so there was five participants, and they all came on, and it was incredible because, one, the bike is incredible, right? So I got a chance to demo this thing up in Atlanta. I was tooling around and going around the staff zone, the global headquarters, and this electric bike gets 10 miles per charge. It cruises up to 15 miles per hour, and it truly is remarkable. It's an amazing product. All the fighters were talking about it, like, you know, like giddy school children, like, oh, if I get the Performance of the Night, I'm taking that bike home, and I'm picking out the black and white one, or I want the lime green one, and they're just really excited that it was just different than all the other media interviews. You know, like all the other traditional shows are just asking questions and just, but Randy brings value with his interviews. And so these guys knew it. And so next week we'll be doing another contest at the Sunrise Center. We'll get the an incentive for these guys to come on and talk about their careers and give us their time, which is so precious during fight week. During prep week, especially if they're having a major cut, they're coming from a weight, a large weight cut to get to the certain goal. So those last couple days, time is precious, and it's always an honor that they take time out of their schedule when it's all focused on winning the fight on Saturday to give us an interview, an in-depth interview. So got that to look forward to. Randy, are you still there? Still waiting on Randy? Randy to appear. It's, but I guess I'll kind of go off the cuff here. You know, like Randy, he's been following this promotion, the UFC, since UFC 11, I believe. Actually, you know, started talking about it or covering it at UFC 7, but then started traveling with it since, you know, UFC 11. And here we are at UFC 236. And that doesn't count fight nights and Ultimate Fighters. I mean, there's hundreds of events that this man has been to. And I think the greatest thing for me is always just sitting back and watching how the people who run the promotion come by and respect Randy. You know, they give him, you know, and I don't see him do it to many, if anyone, where they'll come over and make a special effort or acknowledgement to thank him for coming. Thanks for being there. Thanks for covering our sport. Thanks for helping us build it up. You know, because Randy is really... We talk about these handful of guys that run the UFC, you know, and made it what it was, you know, the Art Davey, the founder, and the Fertittas and Dana White. But, you know, for the better part of 25 years, Randy has given the UFC and this sport a voice, you know, that transcends state lines and media outlets and channels. And so it's amazing to sit back and watch, you know, Randy get the respect that he deserves. You know, he's the best at what he does. And it's an honor to be a part of this network. It's an honor to be a part of Randy, the Randy regime. It's an honor to be a part of Knockout Radio. And as I mentioned in the first segment, you know, I finally got what everybody was saying I was missing when it comes to the sport. You know, I was a casual fan, you know, by all definitions. I was a casual fan just like everyone else kept saying. Yeah, I only knew the headliners. I only knew the main event. If it wasn't a fight that I had heard anything about, I didn't watch it. If it was fighters that I didn't know, I didn't watch it. But this week changed everything for me. I was able to, live the life that these fans, that's why they're so passionate about this sport. You know, that's why they love this sport so much. That's why the Shane Grossmans and the Eric Merrills and the Sean Harrises and the list goes on and on. That's why, you know, it's amazing to see the technique, the discipline, and the family atmosphere. And yes, these guys are warriors. You know, these guys put everything on the line. I mean, Israel talked about how he was willing to die in that octagon for pride, being the second champion for Nigeria, obviously behind Usman. How they both have a belt, you know, what that means to their country and to their you know, to the people. There's a pride element to it. It's very similar to soccer. It's like bigger than the game itself. It's the pride of your family name. It's the pride of your people. It's the pride of your country and your culture. And this week, it really clicked for me. You know, I got to see all of that. And you know, and I've been around. I mean, Randy takes me to everything and you know, events and charities and, you know, and some of these people that I idolized growing up as a kid, some of these bigger than life figures, sports figures that I grew up watching, getting to know them in real life, they're kind of like, you know, they're douchebags, you know? It's kind of like, come on, man, like, you have it all. You're the king, you know? And here I am, you know, like, with these guys that are actual warriors, like, they're laying it all out there, and they're the most humble, the most gentle. I mean, Henry Cejudo, the champ, you know, got in my car, and I took him to the airport. You know, just down-to-earth, sensible, great people. And that's what I love.
Let me jump in for a minute, because I only have a couple minutes. I see my transportation out there to take us to the airport. I want to know how you convince the world champion, the Olympian gold medalist, to get in your Fruit Loop vehicle. I mean, I know that it's a great car, but how did you convince him? Because we're still not sure that you're not, you know, a mass murderer or something. And we know you. So how did you convince Henry Cejudo, who can handle himself, I understand that. Did he want to make that flight that bad that he took the chance?
No, I honestly, it was you. You validated that I was real. And so what I did was I showed him pictures from the cage side. I showed him pictures of you. I showed him pictures of myself with Josh Emmett and Max Griffin and Ken Shamrock. And so he knew that I was...
So now you've just showed him that you're a fan, that's all. Not that you're a bizarre lunatic.
I showed him that I was in media row, cage side, that I was credentialed, that I'm real. And that, you know, so when he saw that, and I was like, look, man, it's there if you need it. I got your back, dude. And so that was it. And so it was really that, you know, the trust came from the association of being a part of Knockout Radio and the fact that you were my boss. And so that's why he got in the car with a stranger, you know, but that was it. I mean, it was really you, man. You made that happen. So.
But you got him to the airport, so that is good. Now, I know we only have about 75 seconds left of this hour. So before we get to the top of the hour, I'm getting ready to get on our transportation to the airport. I will call back in at some point. What are you going to do over the next 30, 45 minutes of Knockout Radio? How are you going to torture our listeners and kill our entire whoop-de-doo?
Well, I was kind of setting it up while you were on your extended break there. I talked about the Jupiter Bike Contest. I haven't announced who won last week. But are we doing that again this Wednesday in Sunrise? Or are we going to give away another Jupiter bike to someone that appears on our show?
I do not know that. I'll be meeting with Adam and everyone at Jupiter Bike this week. When I get home later tonight, I'll be getting with them over the next couple of days. We do have some other announcements. We have some other sponsors that have stepped up. So we're going to make quite a few announcements, but a few giveaways. We do have a discount code that we will announce either in the second hour or next week as well from Jupiter Bike. So a lot of really cool things. We're going to try to get some in the hands of our listeners, as well as some of the athletes and celebrities. And we hooked up Chael Sonnen and Rose Namajunas and Pat Barry with the Jupiter bike. So a lot of bikes are going to be going to people here very shortly. And we will get to that information either in the second hour when we return or next week when I return. coming to you live from Nashville, Tennessee, the home of the Kevin Carter Foundation Waiting for Wishes. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8th Man Strong and Stassa.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your case?
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.